Today's daf in Besechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Daf Samach Aleph. We were holding on Daf Samach Omud Beis at the bottom, and we got up to Rabbi Akiva's Maimer, that a person should always be rogel to say called Ovid Rachmona Latav Ovid, famous Maimer of Rabbi Akiva. And today I promised you we're going to have a little story, the famous story again of Rabbi Akiva. And this is four lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Akiva was on the road, was looking all over the place for bread and breakfast. Nobody wanted to have him. He ended up having nowhere to stay and ended up camping out on the road. So he said, what can you do? I call it tova. And he had with him a tarnagol and a chamor and a lamp. Comes along this big wind, blows out his lamp. Comes along a cat or a weasel, eats up his chicken. And comes along a lion. This is like he's having a wonderful day here. Comes along a lion and eats up his chamor. Every time something happens, it's all right. Hakol l'tova. Anyway, it turns out that Beba Lailia Ata Gaisa and Shav Yalamata. That night, the town was invaded by a bunch of mafioso. Ended up murdering everybody, raping, stealing, a disaster. So he says to the people with him, "Nu, did I tell you, that's all we would have needed to have found our bread and breakfast, or that our lamp should have been lit so they would have seen us, or that our chicken should have crowed, a hen should have crowed, or that our chamor would have brayed. They would have discovered us, we'd be gone." Wonderful story. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Meir. Now, some of the Mefarshim say that this is here because, not just because it's Rav Huna Amar Rav from before, but because it relates to what it is that we said. And that is that a person has to have in mind at all times this inyan of Komad Ovid Rachmana Latava Ovid. Remember that all of this began with our understanding of the bracha of Dayana Emet and the way that a person is supposed to make the bracha of Dayana Emet. That it's supposed to be with the same type of feelings. In which case, the Kabbalah of a din, or to be Sumeach B'Yisurin, and so on and so forth, is very important. And he understands, therefore, this Marsha and others, that a person should not have tainas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't start asking why me and have all kinds of questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the Shamayim. You're on the earth. Keep your voice down. Don't pretend that you understand anything and that you have any kind of perspective and that it's not just stam a general idea of being mamayit in your tefillas and so on. Now, we are about to engage in a very, very important daf, which if one doesn't understand what is going on, one can be confused by the complexity of the different sugyas that don't seem to be very related. And the fact is, they're all very related. When we get to the end of our Masechet, which is the final stages of understanding the nature of Emuna and what Emuna means, we need to finally come to terms with the fact that what constitutes Emuna is profound confusion. In other words, we have a lot of different parts to ourselves. It's all very nice to talk about emuna in terms of the simplicity of Zroyim and the way in which a person finds himself in the world. But the truth is that profoundly within our own psyches, we are terribly torn into completely different pieces. And those different pieces relate to the most essential understanding that we have of Maaseh Bereishis, of being itself with two different letters. Ki b'kah Hashem tzorei lamim. So we have an olam hazeh, we have an olam haba, we have those elements that are within us. And as some of the great psychologists understood, we have within us a feminine nature, we have a masculine nature, we have our relationships between us, male, female, very confusing. What are we precisely? We have two yetzers. We have a yetzer tov, we have a yetzer hara that constantly tears us into pieces. We have two foci. One is completely olam hazeh oriented and comfort oriented. We have another focus in which we look towards eternity and towards life. And we have a tremendous desire to live, and at the same time, we have a tremendous desire for money. With money meaning all of the material comforts and all the power and everything else that is represented by money. We have a profoundly physical nature, which is most deeply expressed in going to the bathroom. And we have a profoundly spiritual nature, which is most profoundly expressed in going into the Beis HaMikdash. Those two things have to turn out to be interrelated. And of course, that's the reason that we make the bracha, Lifnei Kisei Chvodecha, when we go to the bathroom, which is absurd. What in the world? Lifnei Kisei Chvodecha is the last thing we'd want to mention in defecation. And so on and so forth. All of these underlying confusions need to be integrated into the nature of emunah, so that even the idea of ezer kenegdo, which is the essence of our relationship to marriage, is ipso facto torn into two parts, ezer kenegdo, as Chazal pointed out at the very beginning of Gan Eden. And this relates to the fact that man was originally created both male and female, and that man was created with shnei yitzarim, and that man was created with the power of a choice in which even his bodily functions and the way that he feels about things, and we use even today where we don't have a primitive view of the organic structure of our body, but we still talk about it as if we do, as if my heart tells me something, or as if I feel it in my guts, and so on. This is the Gemara that's going to try to integrate those kind of things. And again, the primitiveness of the vision is the way in which I explained to you before, the Torah specifically wants us to first learn what it is on the most primitive level to be this absurd organic structure that's made out of the simple particles of the earth. What is it that's going on inside of you from a very primitive point of view? And how does that relate to the universe outside of you, which we discussed yesterday, in terms of the Zmanim and the way that you view the happenings in the galaxy overall? And how does it relate underneath it all to your psyche and to your relationship? So once you see that, then this entire daf is basically focused on the one issue that was raised, which was the relationship between the bracha of HaTov HaMeitiv and Dayan HaEmet, which the Gemara asserts are essentially the same bracha, and that you should keep your head down and recognize that there's very little. Ata al ha'aretz. And that's the thing to remember. So it turns out that this mimer of Rav Huna Amarav, in a sense, gives us a theme for the entire daf. Remember that you are part of the aretz right now. Darash Rav Nachum Bar Rav Chisda. Why in the Yetzirah of Adam do we find two yuds, as opposed to anywhere else of all the Yetzirah, we never find Vayitzah written with two yuds? This is because Shnei Yetzarim bara Kadosh Baruch Hu, Echad Yetzer Tov, Echad Yetzer Ra. That's because we're fundamentally split in our personalities. Maskil Radach Bar Yitzchak, and animals are not split in their personalities. You can have a nice ox that's sitting around doing its job all day and behaving very placidly and munching on its food. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody does the wrong thing and waves the wrong thing in front of it, and it's off and it's goring and it's kicking and it's biting. Now, what is that? That's exactly the same way you are. So how come it doesn't say Vayitzer with two yuds? It's the same thing, isn't it? For Karchazina, we see that it's Maskov and Nashcho Boata. Therefore, I say the two yuds mean something else. Reb Shimon ben Pazi. Reb Shimon ben Pazi says two yuds stand for Yetzer and Yotzer. And boy, am I caught between the two of them. What a miserable life it is. Oili mi Yotzri, oili mi Yotzri. If I do the things I'd love to do, oh boy, I got to worry about the one who created me. If I don't do the things I want to do, oh God, it's hell on earth to keep resisting temptation. So what kind of life is that? That's the two yuds. Or we could learn it like this, like Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Tam Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. It's worse than that. It's that du partzufim barak adosh baruch hu ba'adam harishon shenamar achor v'kenem tzartani. Adam harishon actually had two completely different, but physically different, so to speak. In other words, expressed in the confusion that we have in our psyche, he actually had a body that was torn into two. The back part, well, we don't know back and front, but one part was female and one part was male, with all of those differences in psychology and desires and so on. And all of that is embedded in our psyche and in such a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be expressed in the most physically manifest fashion originally. So then it says, Vayiven Hashem Elokim et Hatzela. So Rav and Shmuel argue about this because this has to do with this maimer. Was Adam HaRishon a bisexual being in the sense that he had one part that was completely female, one part that was completely male? So one man, the Omer, says it was indeed a complete partzuf. There was a totally different body on one end than on the other. V'chadamar zanav, that the building of the isha from the tzela is essentially the equivalent of a tel. So bishlam alaman yomer partzuf hanedichtiv achor v'kedem tzartani. That would explain the front and back idea in the Maaseh Bereishis. But if it's just the concept of an extra bone like a zanav, my achor v'kedem tzartani, kidereb ami, the Omer of Ami, I am the last thing, the last species to be made in Maaseh Bereishis. Can you imagine that we happen to live on Earth at a time when we're part of a species that is measurably old, and it's like a joke compared to everything else around? We're talking about things could be 600 million years old. This is like a brand new species. So we're the last thing ever that was created. V'kadam l'puranut, and the first thing to get our heads handed to us. Wait a minute. I understand the part about being the last thing in creation. That's true. The law Ivri ad Mahalei Shabbat, the way the Torah puts it, is we were only created at the end of Friday. But what do you mean, Kedem l'Puranut? Which Puranut? Certainly not the Puranut of the Chet of Adam HaRishon, because over there, the first thing that was punished was not Adam, but rather Rebbe Omer, B'gdula matchilin min ha-gadol, u'biklala matchilin min ha-katan. When you're talking about something that is a gedula, such as doing the Aveda and the Mishkan. So Bigdul Matrilim and Agadol Dichtiva Yedaber Moshe Al Aaron V'Al Elazar V'Itamar Banav Haniltarim Kichu Et Hamincha. That is first Aaron, then Elazar, then Itamar. But when you're talking about bad things, Biklala, you start with the lowest, and then you go up, because we find that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekalel the Nachash, then was Mekalel Chava, and it was Sof Nitkalel Adam. No, it's not referring to those Puranut. It's referring to the Puranut of the Mabul, where over there species are destroyed. And over there it says, Vayimach et kol ha-yikum ha-shapnei adama, first mi Adam, and then ad be'ima, and so on and so forth. So first Adam, then be'ima. Getting back to the question of how Adam was created. So if it was a separate part, suv, that would explain why it says Vayitzer with two yudim. But according to the Mandar, it's a zanav. I mean, you wouldn't call a zanav a separate yitzira. No, so Einochinami, he would go like Reb Shimon ben Pazi that we had before, who said, Oili mi yitzri, and Oili mi yotzri, and Oili mi yitzri. Okay, Bishlam, according to the Mandar, Omer, said it was a completely different body, so to speak, connected. That's why it says, Zachar v'dekeva bar'am, that they were originally created male and female. But if you tell me there was only zanav, where's the Zachar v'dekeva bar'am? That's Kedur Rebbe Abohu, the Omer Rebbe Abohu Rami. On the one hand, it says, and then it says, Ki Betzelem Elohim Asa Et Ha'adam, which is Mashmah that as a Yachid. So how was this? The point was that there was always an intent to ultimately have a separate male and female. However, in the end, in order to make that possible, as part of the process of Gan Eden, the psychological development of the species needed to be as a single entity in which male and female was not fully developed as separate beings, but in which they recognize it's all inherent within the nature of Adam. Therefore, the Besof, in the actuality of the process, we started off with a Adam. If you're going to tell me it was a separate body, then that means we needed to graft a whole new back onto the place where there was a different body. What we're talking about over there just means that there was no sign that was left on the human body of their having externally, of there having originally been a tail. I mean, we do find the bones that indicate clearly that there was a tail, obviously from early on in evolution, but there's nothing on the skin that shows that. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to be Vayizkor Bosa Tachtena. So that's Lamokam Chatach. Bishleb Elamandim Azanav, that would explain Vayiven. If you're only talking about a tail, it needed a heck of a lot of building to turn it into a person. But Lamandim Repartsuf, and what was there to build? Ah, that's beautiful. That's like Shimon ben Manasseh. Because he explained, what's the Pshat Vayiven Hashem Etzatzela? Vayiven means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu became Chava's hairdresser. And he gave her a beautiful, beautiful permanent. And then he brought her to Adam HaRishon to present her. What are you going to present this animal? The word binyan is a different word for a haircut in certain karchei hayam. Dover acher vayiven om Rav Kisra mamas nisetana. Melamed shebana'a hakadosh baruch hu lechava kebinyan. The lashon of binyan is that a woman is like a type of structure that we're familiar with. And what does that mean? That just, it's a binyan like a binyan otsar. Ma otsar zah katsur melamala varoch melamata kedel kabelot haperot. Af isha is katsur melamala varoch melamata kedel kabelot havlad. The same way that we structure a storage area for perot in such a way that you have more pressure of the perot pressing downwards, where over there you have the support of the ground and the structure, which is the lower part of the structure, thicker, and that maintains the pressure of the perot, whereas if you wouldn't have it that way, the walls would be pressed out by the perot and would possibly collapse. So too is a woman built in such a way that she can have a pregnancy in which the lower part by the pelvis turns out to be able to hold the vlad, even though as she gets closer and closer to her head, she is thinner and thinner. One, and this is vayevi'ea el ha'adam. What does it mean that he brought her, presented her to the Adam? That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu became Adam HaRishon's best man at the wedding. Maybe that's why they call a shushbin a best man, because it goes back to Adam HaRishon, right? So the person that is osik in the wedding is called a shushbin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was the guy, kaviyochol, that brought the girl and that created the wedding, you know, made everything pretty, did the designs, sent out the invitations. Then therefore, this teaches us, there are cherets, that a person who is an Adam Gadol should nonetheless be involved in arranging the wedding for somebody. You shouldn't feel like this is a low-class activity. Adarab, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it, you can do it. Now, the question is like this. If man was originally male-female, male/female, was he originally female/male, or was he originally male/female? Now, this would be a tremendous psychological difference. And what would define it, so to speak, it's very cute, the whole thing. What would define it? Well, which side walked forwards? Was it the male part, or was it the female part that walked forwards? So if it's the female part, that means that essentially his focus was very much towards the earth and all of the other feminine elements. If the male part worked, then it means all the crazy parts of male psychology and the desire to do things and build things and so on, that went first. So what do you think? Hi, Sagi Bereisha. Omrim Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Well, it's got to be that the male part went first because, I mean, you're not even allowed to walk in back of a woman, you know? And doesn't it say, Lo yalech adam achar ishto baderech? Even if it's your own wife, you should not be walking behind a woman. It's not nice. And if you stare on it like the sidewalk or on this bridge, where, like, you're stuck, then you saw kind of it's stadim. I mean, do your best to go at least at a side, so it's not like you're walking directly behind her, run quickly and catch up, as the Rambam says, your roots, and pass her by. A person who passes directly behind a woman crossing a river where she's got to pick up her clothes and he's peeking, maybe. This obviously is only if she's an Eshesish, so because he may come. Means ultimately, he may come, chas v'chalila, to be chote with her. Tana Rabbanan Amar, tzeh ma'ot li'isha miyado li'yada kedei li'stakel ba. Guy who's got an opportunity to get a close look at a woman by giving her change, you know, he's at the cash register and this gorgeous girl comes in, you know, so he's counting out the change, meanwhile getting a good look. Lo yina kemidina shageinam. Because even if he's like mole teira and meisim tevim, like Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no way to avoid a little bit of hell for that little bit of fun. Shenemar yad li yad lo yinake ra. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel the Torah miyodei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyodei shel Moshe. He, by using yad li yad as an excuse to peek, is not going to get free of ra. And ra is the din of Gehenna. Omer Reb Nachman, according to this, Manoach was a heck of an Am Haaretz, because it says, Vayelach Manoach acharei ishto, he walked after his wife. Matkif lo Reb Nachman by Yitzchak. So by Elkanah, where it says, Vayelech Elkanah acharei ishto, the only problem is there's no such pasuk, because it doesn't say that. And therefore, Tosfos says, no, this is a wrong girsa. But by Elisha, it does say, Vayokam Vayelech acharei, that he followed her towards her son who had died. So do you think it means he literally was walking behind her? Ela acharei dvorei av acharei atzata. She said to follow me. That's the point. Okay, I'll follow you. That is to say, I'll follow your idea. Omer Rav Ashi, if you really believe, like Reb Nachman did, that Manoach literally followed his wife, so man, that means he wasn't even a kindergarten student and he never even went to cheder. I mean, any cheder child knows that you don't walk behind a woman. Really? How is that? Because it says, Vatokom Rivka v'narotea, Vatirkavna ala jimalim, Vatelachna acharei ish. Why does it have to say they followed the man? Obviously, I mean, he was the one who was going in front to show them the way where they're going. They didn't know where to go. But that's the point that Torah is stressing. They followed the man. They didn't go before the man and to make the man walk behind them, which is usher. Now, any child who reads that pasuk immediately understands that that's the implications, right? I mean, not the children that you know, but that's because their brains have been canceled. But if you're looking at somebody who's actually reading, come on, Moshe Avichai, for sure would immediately see that, right? So it says, why did it have to say Vatelach Nacharayish? Obviously. Any child would know this. We are literally used to brain-dead children. So, I mean, what? Who would think of that? For God's sake, who wouldn't think of that? Anyway, so this was a clear indication how big of an Amoretz Benoach was. My God. Omer Reb Yochanan, let me tell you something. I'd rather walk behind a lion than walk behind a woman. On the other hand, I'd rather walk behind a woman and not after some kind of icon or cross that they're carrying. And I'd rather walk behind the cross and not, chas v'chalila, walk behind a Beit HaKnesset while people are davening in it, and I'm not going in, because that would be horrible. That would show, as we saw early in the Masechet, that I don't care about davening, and I don't believe it makes a difference, and so on. But that's only if, like we said before, only if you're not carrying something. I mean, if you're carrying something, everybody understands. I mean, you're supposed to walk into Beit HaKnesset in the middle of work and you're holding this big burden on your head. And it's only if there's no other door. If there's another door, why would people think that you're not coming in? They'll figure you're coming in the other door. Furthermore, it's only if you're not on your donkey. If you're on your donkey, people don't expect you to be able to bring your donkey into shul and you don't have where to park. So therefore, it wouldn't be a problem. And not only that, but if you're wearing tefillin, then obviously everybody understands that tefillin relate to tefillah, and that of course you believe in tefillah. Probably you davened already. Omar Rav, how do we look at the Yetzer Hara? I say the Yetzer Hara is like this fly. You know how disgusting flies are? They always get exactly where it is that you want to be, and all of a sudden you get this horrific chutzpah of fly. And it's Yoshev ben Shneim Yavtechei Alev, Shneim Zivuvei Mavet, Yavish, Yabia, Shemen Rokeach. Oh my God, they stink themselves. They stink up everything around them. They deposit their eggs, and it's the beautiful fine oil starts bubbling. Yabia Zoloshin of Ababuot, says Rashi. And that's what they do to you. Shmuel says, no. It's not a fly. It's nothing disgusting about the Yetzer Hara. That's your own hangups. Actually, the Yetzer Hara is very fine. It's like the finest chita, the best type of grain you could develop. That's why it's called a chet, from a chita. Shenemar lepetach chatat roveitz. And the question over here is, okay, utilizing those energies, what are you going to be doing? But it's the finest thing to use. Tana Rabbana, if you want to experience in your guts these kind of feelings in your body, so look at your body, okay? You've got these two kidneys. Remember, the real function of kidneys, obviously, is to choose between tov and ra, because ultimately, they're what's doing the filtering of getting the ra out of your system. So let's look at those kidneys in a gross way, you know? They are filtering between tov and ra. That is to say, you should sense in your guts there's something in you that wants to do good. There's something in you that wants to do bad. Where is that coming from? The filter system. Now, achat yo'atzato l'tovav, achat yo'atzato l'ra'a. If you want to think about, so which one should you see as the good one? Well, I mean, usually the right is good. You know, those sinister people on the left. Whew, thank heavens they didn't win. So the ra'az l'smolo, dichtiv lev chacham liyamino v'lev ksil l'smolo. Tana Rabbanan. The way to see your body grossly, your klayot or yoatzot, your lave is mevin and makes the choices. Again, because we find the lave being so responsive and so on. The lashon is mechatech. You use your tongue. Okay, now how are you going to live with a woman who's only good? Forget it, Ira. So the lashon is mechatech, and it sets up the words. The mouth, the lips, that finishes and puts it out into the world. The veshet is machnis umatziko mene ma'akal. Your esophagus, you're bringing in all kinds of junk into your body. Your trachea, konez motzikol, makes all of those noises. The re'ah shu'evetko mene mashkin. How come there's always so much liquid in your lungs, huh? Where did liquid come from in your lungs? Well, ultimately, you know, that water that you see when it gets cool out there, when you're coughing up, because in the end, everything gets expressed in what's behind that voice. Your kaved is ko'es. It's a good thing you got a gallbladder to cool down your liver a little bit. Maraz zoreget botipa minichato. You got a spleen. Nah, that's happy news. A kurkavan, if you're a bird, well, that'll be tochen. They'll grind up all those seeds you've been eating. You got a tummy. Yeah, tummy will put you to sleep, man. Just take a big meal and take a look and we go right to bed. Your nose, thank God it's breathing and you're waking up. But let me tell you something. If ne'ora yashana, yashana ne'or, whew. If your tummy is waking you up, you got a bad case of heartburn. If your nose is putting you to bed, it's probably allergies. You're on your way out. Tanim shneem yashanim shneem ne'orim miyad meitz. You can't sleep or you can't get up. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Aglile Omer, a tzaddik, his yetzer tov, is giving him all of his eitzes. Shenemar libi chalal bikirbi. So as David HaMelech says, I don't have any yetzer, basically. I don't even feel it. It's as if I'm hollow inside. Rishoyim, they don't hear the yetzer tov. They only hear the yetzer ha. And it rules the day. Shenemar, nu'um peshal rasha. I think, bekerav libi, David HaMelech says, in my heart, the only way I can understand Rishayim, it's so unbelievable, is that basically the Pesha speaks to the Rasha. And because of that, in Pachad Elohim lo neged einav, he doesn't even feel anything. Beinoniim, people that are in the middle, they are subject to two masters. Shenemar Ya'amod liyamin evyon, lo shia mishoftei nafsho. He's got two people that are dragging him around and telling him what to do. Omar Rava, look, people like me who experience the need to constantly choose, we're Beinonim. Omar Rava, oh, hell. If you're a Beinonim, we might as well drop dead. You know, what are you trying to do to us? Lo shavik marchai lecho biria. Furthermore, said Rava, let me tell you something to clarify this. When we're talking about a tzaddik gomer, we're not talking about a tzaddik as defined by the din, which was a Beinonim, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him l'teiva, or he has one more schus than he has. I'm talking about a tzaddik gomer, right? So when I say I'm a Beinoni, it means that I'm subject to these two things. And if you take a look at the two letters that created the world, the Yud and the Hey, the truth is that the world in its pristine perfection is only good for total Rishayim or for total Tzaddikim, because otherwise you're confused. And if you're confused, you never get the full benefit of anywhere. So if you don't, look, if you completely believe in Olam Hazeh and you have absolutely no concerns about anything at all, then you can enjoy life. But if there's always that little nagging conscience behind you, oh, God, I don't really enjoy it. You're sitting there feeling guilty half of the time. And the same thing is true in Olam Haba. You don't really fully enjoy Olam Haba if you believed in Olam Hazeh that it's something real and not just a mechanism for you to be able to create something so much bigger. So in that sense, the actual world was built only either for total tzaddikim or total rishayim. And says Rava, a person can know. Leida inish benafshe im tzaddik gomer hu im lav. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. A person can know if he's truly a tzaddik gomer or if he's confused and he's still going around fighting himself. And I'm telling you, I'm a Beinoni, man. Omar Rav, lo ivrei alma, in that sense, you want a good example? The world exists in the original Bria only for a guy like Achav ben Omri, or a guy like Reb Chanina ben Dosa. Achav ben Omri was rich, was powerful, he had all of his dreams, everything was great. For him, there's only Olam Hazeh. Reb Chanina ben Dosa had nothing, Bailo Bekav Charuvim, that's because his entire belief in life was only Olam Haba. And this gets back to V'ahavtas Hashem Lekech, which was the next thing that the Mishnah brought, which is that there's also a contradiction in the way in which we view what's important to ourselves. Tani Rebbe Eliezer Omer, look, if the Torah is demanding b'kol nafshecha, so then why does it say b'kol mo'odecha? I mean, isn't that included in b'kol nafshecha? And if you're telling me that the V'chol Me'odecha is ultimately the maximum that we can expect of you in terms of Mesiras Nefesh, then why does it say V'chol Nafshecha? Because the point is that there are people who value life more than they value the comforts in their money. So therefore it says B'chol Nafshecha. Im yesh ka'adam sh'mamono chaviv ala migufo. There's lots of people that surprisingly value their money far more than they value their life. And anything that has to do with life, they're ready to throw on the side, even their physical survival. They'll go without sleep. They'll take these dangerous missions. They'll get expose themselves to the type of stress that's murderous stress. So when the doctor tells them you're going to kill yourself, you're going to have a heart attack, it's okay, I'll make money. Somehow or other, we'll make it through, even if I'm dead. I mean, so that whole psychology, the Torah is being mechayev of you, that even if he takes your money, Rabbi Akiva Omer B'chol Nafshecha means that you have to be willing to give up your nefesh. It's not just the emotional extent. Afilu no telet nafshecha. Tana Rabbanan, there was actually a time where Gozer Malchus HaRishah Shelo Yasku to Yisroel B'Torah. So Papas Ben Yehuda comes along and he sees Rabbi Akiva, who's teaching publicly. He couldn't care less about the government, about the police, and he's Makakilas Barabim, and he's Ben Yosef B'Torah. So he says to him, Akiva, what the heck? Iatamit Yaremi Bnei HaMalchut. I mean, these guys are vicious, man. Oh, Marlo, and what do you want me to do? You want me to stop teaching? Emsholach HaMashal, you know, Lamah HaDavar Domeh. Here's, imagine, here's Aesop's fables, okay? We've got our fox. So the fox is walking along the river, and he sees these fish, and they're jumping from place to place in their schools, and they're not standing still. So he says to them, what's going on, man? Why are you guys so nervous? What are you running away from? Oh, they said, these humans, they've got these traps, they've got these nets, they're driving us crazy. So the fox says to them, listen, you know, we could all come up to the dry land, and then we could live together. I mean, remember, early on in evolution, we all used to be together, you know, Kashem Shadoru Avotayim Avotechem. So they said to the fox, Atau Shomrim Alecha Pikeach Shebechayot, you're supposed to be the smart fox. Lo Pikeach Ata Elati Peshata. If B'mokam Chiyoteinu, where we live in the water, we're frightened in there, where we die, B'mokam Itateinu, for sure we should be frightened. I say, it's the same thing today, says Rabbi Akiva. Because what are you saying? We should be like the Goyim. I mean, after all, we were once all Doru Avotayim Avotechem before Avram Avinu. You know, we can learn to get along together again. No. If we, B'mok the Torah is our entire life, Yuchayech V'Rechamechakach. So if we end up being Mitbatel and be like the Goyim, Alachat Kama V'Kama, we'll die. Anyway, what they say is it didn't take too long until the cops came, took Rabbi Akiva, threw him into jail. And at the same time, they brought Papus Ben Yehuda into the same cell. So he says to Papus, what are you doing here? You were the guy who were making sure not to get caught? Oh, my like, oi, Rabbi Akiva Ashrecha, at least you got caught for good reason in Divrei Torah. Poor Papus. I got thrown into jail for nothing. It's actually, if this is the same Papus that was Papus in Ulianus, then he was Moshe Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. But okay, it's Maklokas, whether it's the same person. Rabbi Akiva La'ariga was the time of Kriyat Shema when he was going out to die, and they were torturing him by seeing Sorkim at Besarob Masre Kotcha Barzel. They were using these metal rakes on his flesh, and he was in the middle of saying Kriyat Shema Mekamelav Al Malchus Shemayim Omrulo Talmidav Rabbeinu. I mean, this is Ad Kidekach Ad Kan Omalem. What are you nuts? What an opportunity this is! Which I understood to always mean, now here we are at the end of a Masechet that began with the nature of Kriyat Shema, and we end the Masechet by the deepest understanding of what Kriyat Shema could mean. So here we are at the ultimate opportunity. I've been reading this Kriyat Shema my whole life, and understanding that B'chol Nafshecha is a statement of values of ultimate emuna, that afilu no telet nishmatcha. So I always used to say, would I, could I? I mean, it's all very nice theoretically, but Mataya Voli Yadiva Kaimeno, now I finally have this opportunity. What the heck is bothering you guys? Of course, this is all I'm thinking about. So Hayamarich Be'achad, Ach Yatza Nishmato Be'achad, Yatzta Batkov, Amra Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, She Yatza Nishmatcha Be'echad. Now, of course, that Echad is the ultimate yichud that we were talking about at the end of a daf that talks about the pilug and the differences within us. The Hashem Echad is the ultimate achievement of emunah, in being miyachid all of these different manifestations of what it is to exist on so many different levels, and to be able to see it as an expression of one malchus. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva Ashrecha, Omru Malachi Asharet, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what? Zu Torah v'zu Schara? Should it not be Mimtim Yadcha Hashem Mimtim? Shouldn't Rabbi Akiva have died like a human being on his bed, to going into your hands and not hands of these goyim? Omar Lehem, read the rest of the pasuk. Mimtim Yadcha Hashem, Mimtim Yadcha Chalkam B'chayim. These people are meant to have a life that is in a world of pure life, which is the moment that Yatzta Bat Kol V'amra Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva Shata Muzuman L'chayei Olam Haba, without any further need for any type of tikkun. Now, because of this, the Gemara relates it to the Hamshech of the Mishnah, which is the same contradiction of Lo Yekel Adam Et Rosho K'neged Shar HaMizrach Shu B'chuvit K'neged Beit Kodesh HaKadoshim, which we'll see ultimately means that one's behavior, wherever one is, even if it's in Chutz La'aretz, the Rambam understands that these are two separate dinim, as I'll explain in a moment, that you always have to take into consideration the presence of the Shekhinah in the world when there's a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, even the way that you act, if you're going to the bathroom, has to recognize that there is a Kisei HaKovet, so to speak, with the Shekhinah share in the Beis HaMikdash. So first we start describing what is the Shara Mizrach, which is Mechuvah. So Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav Lomar, Omer Elam, Netzofim V'lifnim. First of all, it has to be within the area that you're close enough to the Beis HaMikdash to see it. Furthermore, it has to be Beroeh. It has to be that you're in a place that has a line of sight, not that you're in some kind of valley. And furthermore, there cannot be something between you and the Beis HaMikdash. So you're not surrounded by walls or by a fence. And it's only Bisman Shashkina Shora, which means it's only at the time that there's a Beis HaMikdash. Now, this is a big problem according to the Rambam, because the Rambam holds that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is Afilu Bisman Hazeh, and it has all of the dinim because of the Kedusha of the original Ashura Shashkina. And therefore, the Rambam understands the entire sugya as being completely different than we understood it. And if you'll wait a moment, you will see exactly where he gets it from and how he fits it in. So, Tana Rabbanan, Hanifne B'Yehuda, if you're going to go to the bathroom anywhere in the area of Shevet Yehuda, then make sure that you are not facing east-west. Because whatever direction you're facing east-west, you're going to be exposing yourself either front or back towards the Beit HaMikdash. Ela Tzafon V'Darom, since Yehuda is essentially east-west and is not that much north-south. I mean, obviously, if you happen to be directly south of the Beit HaMikdash, then you'll have to pretend, then you'll have to not pretend that you're always facing the Beis HaMikdash east-west. But generally speaking, in Yehuda, make sure that your bathroom, your toilet, is north-south. Whereas if you're in the Galil, where you're north of the Beis HaMikdash, so then your bathroom should always be Mizrach u'Ma'arav. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's okay. Because Rabbi Yossi says, lo osrel b'ro'eh, u'b'makom she'in sham gader, and dafke b'zman shashchinah shorah, where there is a Beis HaMikdash. Now, this is the Mokum of the Rambam, who understands that the entire discussion that we had before was not legabe the din of how to act stam keneged the shar. It was talking about these dinim of overall kavod, where over there you're not within range of the Beis HaMikdash at all. You may be hundreds of miles away, and you're still treating it as if you're in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see Alibad Rabbi Akiva, which is how we pasken. It's even in Chutz La'aretz you have to be makbid. So this, says the Rambam, that's a function of the Beis HaMikdash actual being present. But as far as the other dinim are concerned, the other dinim of how it is that you act in the Mokum HaMikdash or Mamish Keneged the Shahr of the Beis HaMikdash, that's true Bizman HaZeh, even if there's no binyan. And then the Chachomim Osir. What do you mean Chachomim Osir? That's how we started. That was the Tana Kama, Hainu Tana Kama. The difference is this idea of the very approximation. We're talking about east-west, north-south. But for heaven's sakes, if you're going to draw a straight line, so how much area do you have to worry about if it's literally a straight line? So obviously it's not literally a straight line according to Tana Kama. The question over here is that we're saying, look, generally speaking, if you're in the Galil, right? Okay, so then anywhere north-south, because if we take a look at it as if it's a spreading light, So then it'll include the whole Galil. You know what I mean? If you're coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, why look at it as a straight line? Look at it as a spreading, shining light from the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore even the sides are going to be aser. Masha Enkin, if you're saying that it's Dafka Keneged, so then it would be Dafka, the literal line. So according to Tanakhama, it was anywhere. According to the Chachomim, it's aser, but it's only aser if it's really in the line. Tanya Idach, the other brightness is like this. Somebody uses a bathroom in Yehuda, make sure it's not east-south that you're facing. It should be north-south, east-west, it should be north-south. And in the Galil, make sure it's not Safan Dorom, but rather Dafka east-west. That's mutter. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't have to worry about that, because Rabbi Yossi says, it's only going to be usher if you can see. You can't see from the Galil. You can see the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only Bizman Shein Beit HaMikdash Kayam that's usher. Bizman Shein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, it's mutter. Rabbi Akiva says, forget about Galil and Yehuda. I don't care if you're living in Bavel. It's also usher. Bechol Makom. Wait, isn't that the same thing? No. Bechol Makom includes Chutz Laretz. The Tanakam over here was only talking about places in Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, Rabbah set up his bathroom in such a way, but of course it wasn't a bathroom, because if it was really a bathroom, so then there's a gader, and if there's a gader, if there's a wall to your bathroom, then you don't have to worry about it. But he was talking about out in the field where people used to, they didn't have a bathroom in their house, obviously. So then he would set up the Levenim, he would set up these bricks in such a way that he could sit on these bricks to defecate. They would be the equivalent of a toilet. And he would set up the bricks in Bavel, Mizrach u'Ma'arav, and that way he would sit north-south, because he was in the area of Bavel that was east-west facing Eretz Yisrael. So comes along, Abayo is his Talmud here, and Rabba's Talmud, and he changes it because he wanted to see if this was Dafka or he just happened to do it. So he moves it around so that the bricks are now Tzofen V'Dorom. Rabba comes back to the bathroom, sees somebody's been fooling around with his bricks, and he fixes it. He says, who's bothering me now, driving me nuts here? Man, hide come entirely. I did it on purpose, obviously. I hold like Rabbi Akiva, that even though we're in Bavel, Bechol Makom Asur.